micro. We're at 8,000 feet. Perishing cold and I'm bored stiff. What about putting on a hot gramophone record to cheer me up?
Hello? Hello? Is this Harlem 77711?
Hello, fellas. This is Duke Ellington.
Get it. Pause. Let's get sweet and hot.
In the opinion of hot music critics, Count Basie has one of the best dance orchestras in the country.
King of the clarinet, Marty Shaw, and his orchestra making dance history in the Blue Room of the Hotel Lincoln in New York City.
Every Thursday from 10 till noon, join me, your host, Charles Burnham, for Sweet and Hot, a celebration of the 78 RPM record, the three-minute masterpiece in the golden age of North American songwriting. Hot jazz, swing, and popular music from the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. That's every Thursday from 10 till noon here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Enjoy that blue bottle?
That's a swell record. I must get it. What's his number?
El niño de 13 años que mandaron a estudiar a Canadá porque los padres ya no aguantaban en su casa. La tía del mismo niño que vive en Cambi y que no pudo decir no cuando le encajaron al sobrino. La lluvia cayendo en forma de diluvio y el mismo diluvio. El salsero que odia el rock y se atreve a decir ¿qué música es esa? El ingeniero argentino que ahora vende dulce de leche. La princesa española que parece lista para salir fotografiada en una revista con nombre de saludo, pero que en realidad es recepcionista. El rubio alternativo que quiere aprender español para cuando vaya de vacaciones, pero que no entiende nada. El regiomontano que le trae ganas a la colombiana y la colombiana que no se deja. La viejita que dice, quiten esa música de locos, por favor. El dentista que no encontró trabajo en un consultorio y ahora trabaja vendiendo visas para extranjeros. Esos mismos extranjeros que dejan todo por una visa y encuentran más
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. You've dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
You have landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM in the Lotus Land of Vancouver.
With your host, the lovely Julia Saunders.
And the smoking hot Caroline McGillivray.
I know I miss you, and I know why now. You compliment me way too much.
Not nearly really enough, darling. It.
So tell me what happened last week on the show when I was away.
Well, I had a fascinating guest. Her name is Mia Califf, and she's a chiropractor, cranial sacral therapist, and she's also an author of The Secret Life of Babies.
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, and we discussed what research is already kind of beginning to show, and she wants to bring it more to North America. It's getting out there in Europe. A lot of research happening where they're beginning to see very clearly the science and everything behind the fact that the environment that we're conceived into, the womb and just the emotional mental mm-hmm. state of both parents, how we're grown in the womb and birthed into, as well as the environment of our first year of life, really dramatically shapes the habits we form in our health and our well-beings, but also in our relationships over our lifetime. So it was a really fascinating topic. I really enjoyed it.
I think that's really cool. I'm definitely going to have to check out that podcast. Mm-hmm. And listeners out there, if you missed that show or any of other shows, you can download the podcast at juiceboxradio.com.
That's right. And this week's show, actually, we're going to go into how to connect effectively with your partner. So whether it's from the first moments of meeting and flirting or into a long-term relationship, health and the sexual vitality that is really important to a long-term relationship being successful.
And just on time, here comes our wonderful guest. We're going to find out how to lay the groundwork for a healthy relationship as well as a workout plan to get your career relationship into tip-top shape. And we're going to be taking calls tonight, so feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation we're going to be having at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And I do believe that is our guest.
Hey, this is Michael Jones.
Hi.
I think so. Welcome, Michael. We were just about to introduce you.
So thanks. I just wanted to get you on the air because sometimes we can fumble with that. And being live and all, it's a challenge. And actually, speaking of being live, Julia is going to have to leave the box when a cell phone rings and go deal with BCAA to get my car keys out of my car. I have to leave in the middle of the interview, so I apologize for that in advance.
Caroline is technically challenged, I don't know how to turn my ringer off of my phone, so we can't even have it on vibrate, so listeners, you're going to have to hear my ringtone, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah,
in advance. Which, on that note, Michael is, I don't know how to describe you. Should we describe you as a dating coach and relationship coach, or how do you like to be described?
That sounds great to me. I think I'm undescribable, but...
we have to put it in bite sizes for our listeners. Sound bites.
I like to say that I lead men's workshops on male-to-female relationships.
Okay.
Fabulous. Okay. Well, that's juicy enough for us to continue discussing things.
Juiciness is good. One of the things I wanted to mention is just one time I met this couple that had been together for over 50 years, and I asked them, what's the secret of their success? And they said to me that it was hard work. And I think that that speaks to a lot of things. Relationships really are hard work. And I think it's really exciting because we've got you. You're calling in from San Francisco, and Mr. Michael Jones, we're excited that you're going to be giving us some insight on how to set up relationships from the ground up and some exercise. How to keep it healthy.
Awesome. So let's start with meeting someone. The pickup 101. I remember the various pickups actually that you offered at the intimacy building retreat David Data offered, and I met you on recently down in Seattle. So I have to say, from my firsthand experience of you, you're pretty much the smoothest operator I've ever come across, which is one of the main reasons we're having you on the show, because I was very impressed with your pickups. And then, of course, you and I have had several conversations, and it's so great to finally have you speaking to the listeners about how does one become the smooth operator?
I don't know if I deserve the credit. Thank you for that. I like the way that sounds, but I'm not sure I deserve full credit. My parents have been married for almost 46 years.
Wow.
So
that's
your
impressive
story, Caroline, of the 50-year marriage couple and hard work reminded me of my parents, but I don't think my parents work at it at all. at least I don't see it. Maybe they work like ducks, and all I see is what's above the surface. But they exhibit a lot of the points, a lot of the structure that I teach, because I've seen it in their relationship, and they just have fun with it.
They have fun in their relationship. They're playful, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're playful even after 46 years.
That's really important.
It inspires me to be around them, and I'm around them as often as I can, even though I live 2,000 miles away.
How long have you been in your longest relationship?
My longest relationship is just about 3 months shy of 20 years.
Holy cow.
Wow.
So I would say even from life experience, you're speaking to how to make a long-term relationship successful. So this is great. So we started, let's just start with the pickup. I mean, I think it's such a huge culture out there, and there's a lot of positive things that are said, negative things that are said about it. So really, honestly, I'd say you were pretty much a smoothest operator. Like, honestly, I found you very authentic, but yet, like, just really good at flirting and engaging and being dynamic. So,
and may I interrupt here? One of the things I just wanted to comment on, Julie, I think it's neat that you call him the smoothest operator, because that's what Lance Mason's girlfriend said about Lance when they met. And so I just wanted to ask Michael, is it the Mason method that you've perfected, and just add a little bit of Michael flavoring in there?
I really like what Lance has done. I feel like he brings a lot to the energy. I wouldn't say that he has a method so much as he teaches, like, how to make an interaction more fun, more charged. I think he acknowledges that there's different steps in getting to know someone, but really he just has a couple steps. I wouldn't call what he teaches a method. I would say it's more of teaching people a new way of being. And I'm not sure he wouldn't like me saying this, but I'm not sure he fully understands his method.
Okay. Well, what did you learn from him? Because you did his work, you were saying.
Yeah, I've done a lot of work with him. Uh-huh. Now, if I could quote somebody on method, I would say a man named Wayne Alise has created structures and methods, and if I were to give anyone credit for a method, I'd say Wayne Alise, who started a company called Charisma Arts, who I'm a big fan of and have helped out and taught in conjunction with them.
So what can you tell us about Charisma Arts? What can you give us information about that?
Sure. If I could quote a few of the bullet points that they recommend that be a part of every interaction, every
and you teach this, right? You teach this
to take it to a higher level. It begins with openness, being open to there being a greater interaction than just the normative, standard platonic interaction. To actually make that jump from strangers to non-strangers, to pick it up a level. You know, as the word pick up, I think, is misused a lot.
Okay.
So to be open to a new experience and to open the other person to a chance, to create a vacuum for them to step into.
Okay. Before we go on to the Mason communications too much, I just want to say that I know we mentioned data earlier in the show, and I want to kind of guide the listeners through a bit of how you've discovered this ability to connect and create that dynamic power play between couples, how that's going to work in long-term relationship health, et cetera. So I think that I know from speaking to you that data is what you're kind of involving yourself into now more than you were before, I think. Am I right about that? So we want to talk about data more in the second half of the show, because I think that my flavor from him is that he works with long-term couples more, and he works with intimacy building and creating amazing connected tantric sex and the like, and kind of what you're talking about, opening yourself to the heart space and stuff like that, I think is what you're getting to. So before we get to that level of relating, I want to kind of go back to the first meetings, the early dating, and what kind of prep work do your clients do, like, for example, before they go out to meet women? How do you guide your clients in your workshops to do. So you kind of were touching a little bit on what Mason talks about. But, like, you know, like being more authentic or something is what you were reading about, right? Is that what you – I'm kind of – can we go there? Like how we
sure. –
how you get to the first meetings, how you get to the early dating, what, how do you do that level of relating?
Sure. Well, I would say in order to elevate any interaction, including the first one, it has to begin with curiosity about being curious about the person and being able to enter their life as a positive, to enter their life like a warm ray of sunshine, to kind of feel what it's like for them. What's their body language saying? What kind of mood do I sense they're in? Where is their consciousness? What are they thinking about? What's the conversation going on in their head right now? And that might be the easiest way for me to open a dialogue with them, is to answer where they are right now.
So that's how you coach your clients that come to your workshops?
That would be one way of answering, of opening a conversation, is to look at someone who's at the coffee shop, for example, who's staring at the coffee menu board. I can imagine what kind of conversation is going on in their head. They're wondering, what kind of coffee should I order? And so that might be how I can come in and open this conversation to a higher level, but by entering that same conversation.
Like, for saying what?
What you going to order?
Okay. I like it. A simple, authentic question. Wow, okay.
Sure.
That works.
But how do you get them in the workshop to work on that stuff? Do you start with a roadmap where you kind of get them to think about what they want before they start going out and approaching women?
I first want them to be curious about the person standing next to them.
Are we talking about them? So be curious, so actually care.
Ask them a question that you're generally curious about that you think that they... It's currently going on for them in their head.
Awesome. Simple stuff. I wish people would do this. It would probably work really well.
Would you get them to practice on each other in the workshop before they get out there and do it for a live woman? Where you get them interacting with each other. So basically you're working on their networking skills, being able to read each other's body language?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify
that. I'll actually be very meticulous about it. I'll have them do it first non-verbally. First, look at the person. Have them imagine they're in a place, but not tell the person learning where it is. For example, if I tell him to pretend to be in a coffee shop, I won't tell man B where he is. I'll have him try and enter that space by just observing his body language.
Cool.
Where is he based on how he's acting?
Sounds very interesting and challenging.
Then next, I'll have the person demonstrate a mood, an emotional position, and I'll have the man B try to enter that space. What kind of mood is the person in? How can you match their mood?
Mm-hmm.
And then third, what's going on in their head? What are they thinking about?
Cool.
Because I want to start a conversation in the most comfortable way possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that might be where I think of smooth.
Right. That's fabulous.
No, it's good.
Now, if somehow I can't feel near the person, I can't decide what's going on for them, a second way that I believe I could open a conversation is to have the other person enter the thoughts in my head, and I want to make those thoughts very easily relatable.
Okay. Relatable?
Yeah. Okay. I want them to enter thoughts in my head that are very easily relatable. For example, if I'm at the coffee shop and they have a special, a big sign up for the Jamaican coffee, I might start by saying, I wonder what the Jamaican coffee is like. Have you had it before?
Right. Okay.
That'd be an example of having somebody enter the thoughts in my head, but I've made them pretty easy to relate to because there's a big sign right there.
Cool. All right, so Caroline, you have...
One of the things I wanted to touch in on, sorry, is I'm technically bad engineering there. Bad girl. You can smack me later, Jules. One of the things we were reading about in some of the information, that article you gave us on Mason's communication, was just how the writer had mentioned about how women would kill to see men emote in such a therapeutic setting, quote, unquote, and that these workshops teach guys to communicate and be opening-hearted. And I was just curious, like, with that, do you ever get guys where it's almost more of a therapy session?
I would say that it certainly can be therapy. I think a lot of guys find out that they have a deeper richness when they get curious about themselves.
Okay. And how do you guide them through that?
So we're jumping ahead a little bit, but after at some point in the conversation, I want them to encourage, I encourage them to express who they are genuinely.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to move from platonic to more personal. And I want them to be able to take conversations to a level that is special, that, you know, especially if they like the person.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want them to encourage their partner to express who they are genuinely. And if it can be special, if it can be more personal, so much the better. To me, that's what chemistry is about.
Got it.
But it has to be a co-created interaction. We have to go there together.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want someone to get close and personal with me, I've got to get close and personal with them.
No, fair enough. I find it interesting that you get them to focus on the other person first in terms of the process, if I'm reading this correctly, where you get them, A, to start with curiosity, and then, B, then they work and look at themselves. Is the curiosity mainly to get them so they're comfortable, because sometimes people aren't comfortable delving deep into their own emotional things and figuring what they need?
Well, I just find that if I'm really curious about something, I'm going to want to take it further. I'm going to want to move this conversation along to a more personal level. I'm probably not going to get personal with something that I'm not interested in.
Got it. I was just wondering, just in terms of sometimes some of the dating coaches we've had on before have talked about starting off with a criteria list, for example, so you know what you want. It's almost like having a roadmap and following it through. So I found it interesting that you focused on the other person first, then going full circle in terms of the person themselves and what they want. So I was just curious in terms of why in that way, why do you structure it as such?
I've had great conversations with 90-year-old men, with young kids, a group of, a couple. I just find that exploring my curiosity makes social interactions fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
And in those cases, I'm enjoying getting more personal with them, and I find it adds to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then occasionally I meet somebody that I want to go a next step and make it more sexual, make it more of a man-woman romantic connection.
So you're teaching them just how to relate just one-on-one, not necessarily as a pickup, where it might be those games that some of the, like, for example, in the book The Game, where sometimes it's like wearing, like, an interesting piece of jewelry or something that catches the attention, those types of things, like a hook?
I want to pick up the interaction with my boss, with my family, with my friends, with the people that I, see every day at the coffee shop. I just want to raise the entire level of communication to a higher level.
Okay, and what does that mean to you, a higher level of communication?
One that's more personal, one that's more intimate, one that's more rewarding, that feels better to me.
Mm-hmm. Do you find with some of your clients that sometimes they go backwards before they go forwards, where it takes one step forward and it takes two steps back sometimes before they get the process?
Well, I do find that sometimes the clients get so stuck on applying everything I've taught them that they get in their head. So I tell them, listen to what I have to say and then forget about it. And then just go out and try to be more spontaneous, more natural. All in all, I'm trying to create a more natural and spontaneous flow.
Mm. No, that makes sense. Do you find sometimes you're mentioning occasionally there's times where it may trigger something in terms of emotional, more therapeutic type of space? Is there any time you work with a therapist or anything in case there's some more deep-rooted issues that may not be able to work through in a workshop? Or has that never been an issue?
I haven't. We do start with a disclaimer that we're not doctors, we're not therapists.
Yeah.
We don't do psychiatry. I find that just revealing who they are is a great way to communicate and to build a connection with somebody. Just being heard is a positive experience. And a lot of men have said that was the most positive experience of the weekend, was just hearing other people's stories about, you know, important turning points in their life, what was important to them, what made differences in their life, and getting to know them as real people. I think a lot of friendships have also formed from men just sharing with other men.
I think that's really important. I consider that a success. What other success stories would you tell us about?
I love getting emails back from people saying that their life has changed, that they now feel like they can connect with people, whereas before they felt they had to have an excuse. And I see quite a few of my past students with girlfriends gotten a couple wedding invitations. Not that many, but a few.
Well, marriage is a big step, so I think that's fantastic. What are the 5 critical steps you think a guy should take before getting a girl's number?
Well, I would say there's 6.
Okay.
There's 6 steps, and I don't believe in a particular order, but I would call these bullet points.
All right, what are the bullet points?
I would say one is be open and be opening. You know, so
what does that mean?
We kind of talked about the first step, how to open. And it's because with being curious, being open to learning something new about somebody, and creating a space, an open space for them to come into.
Okay.
Inviting them in. Asking for their opinion, for example, could be an example of that.
Say you're at the coffee shop and it's like, oh, you're getting a latte with a hazelnut flavoring. Is that really good? What do you like? Do you always order that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I love questions.
I love questions that are juicy. So I believe the quality of our questions often reflects the quality of our life.
Give me an example.
Well, what is it about ginger snap latte that you like? What does it do for you?
Are we still in the coffee conversation?
We are talking about coffee. We've gone full
circle.
Think
of something else.
No, we're good. We're talking about the 5 critical steps a guy should take before getting your number. Did our BCA guy ask for your number?
He actually has been listening to the show for 4 years.
Really?
And he's absolutely a huge fan, and he was very excited to meet a celebrity, is what he called me.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I was like, I don't know if I call myself a celebrity, but that's okay. Wow. Sorry, I'm wearing a T-shirt. No makeup. I look horrible, but anyway. We should just get the video cam in here, honey. So
I know. We've got to have
Then we part. Have to look really good every time we do the show. Okay.
Darling, we look good anyways. It's the blonde and brunette, but even still, 5 critical steps. It starts with openness and it starts with curiosity. Mm. So that's number one, and not necessarily in this order. He says there's actually 6 steps.
Okay.
So I interrupted. Keep going, Michael.
Okay. Well, I would say possibly a third way to open would be to get a sense for somebody, to make a presumption, and make a bold, positive presumption about them. See something in them that's a little higher than just the obvious.
So would this be like the guy who pretended to read a girlfriend of mine's palm at the nightclub where he did and started saying all this stuff, which I didn't buy any of it, even though she believed him?
Okay.
Was he really seeing something in her that was beyond the obvious, that was heightened? My example might be if I was in Los Angeles and saw somebody working on their computer writing a story, I might walk up and say, how's your screenplay coming?
Okay, what about in San Francisco, which is supposed to be a difficult city to date in?
San Francisco, I think San Francisco is a challenging city to date in.
Why is that? Actually, I'll let you
finish. You got to fly girls in from other cities? I mean, what's up?
I haven't figured out what makes San Francisco. I love San Francisco, and I love all the people of San Francisco, and I live here because I think it's the best city in the world. And Vancouver as well. But an example of a presumption might be if I'm at the San Francisco MoMA, Museum of Modern Art, mm-hmm. and see somebody taking notes, I might ask them what kind of art they do.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Okay.
That's cool because, you know, we're all artists, aren't we, really? And if we're in those museums, then maybe it'd be like, oh, that's so cool. He thinks that would work well. Okay, so far, so good.
It's a very artistic city.
Okay. Mm. What other type of critical steps are there?
All right,
we've got to be openness. We've got asking a question that's a little bit presumptuous, just to get things going.
Level question was, I think, how we put it. But anyway,
probably
okay.
And again, I believe in making bold positive presumptions,
right?
Not negative presumptions.
Okay,
that's true. like that muffin's
point.
Got 500 calories in it.
Yeah. So. Do you really think
you need that?
Yeah, that wouldn't go over so well.
Let's get those.
So a second bullet point I believe is important in interaction is that there be commitment. I believe that even an interaction needs a level of commitment by both people.
Mm. Okay.
And without it, it can't really go to its highest potential. I believe the man has to be committed. He has to show that he's committed to this interaction.
Okay.
And he has to gain commitment from the other person. If they're not interested, he should stop there. I mean, it should be a choice.
Right.
I don't believe in captive audiences.
You only believe in captive audiences?
I don't believe in holding an audience captive.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe in making someone listen to a man's conversation against their will. So.
You're just like a dream come true. Anyway,
I'm thinking that.
All right.
Getting to Vancouver.
Yeah. You need to help the women in this town. Okay.
And on that note.
Yes, I'm just going to send this podcast far and wide. That's what I'm going to do. That's the power. I can at least put that forward. Maybe we should just make you come up here and do a workshop. They're very expensive, though. We can't talk about how much they are on the air, but I'm sure they're well worth it. Right, Michael Jones? Yes.
I believe they are.
I think they would
are.
Be.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to be back with the next 2 points after this in terms of what guys should do before they ask for a girl's phone number. And we're going to talk a little bit more about emotion and about how to get your relationship in tip-top shape for the second half.
Yeah, I think we want to make sure that we get into like the deeper long-term relationship tips that you might offer, because I think, like as you said at the beginning of the show, you know, your parents 40 years or 46 mm-hmm. years, can't remember what you said, and then you almost 20 years yourself, so I think you have a lot to offer for those people, those listeners that are in long-term committed relationships that would like to keep them alive and kicking, or even just the ones that are in the first year and kind of going, I don't want this to die, you know, I want this beautiful, dynamic, romantic time to somehow stay alive. So we're going to talk about that after the break. Not too much pressure with Michael Jones here. So we'll be right back with Let's Get Physical in Person, the meet, the greet, and the relationship with San Francisco's Michael Jones. And we will be right back.
Just right. By popular demand, the Vancouver Folk Music Festival returns with the 2008 Folk in the City series. Taking place at Vancouver's Yale Hotel, located on 1300 Granville Street, the Folk in the City series begins and ends the Vancouver Folk Fest. On Wednesday, July 17th, get a head start on Vancouver's Folk Festival with Marcus James and the Wassenry with the Blue Voodoo Duo. Then, on Monday, July 21st, catch the festival's last performance with T-Model Ford and guests Kenny Blue Boss Wayne. Tickets are available online at the festival's website, thefestival.bc.ca. See you at the Yale.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
I am seriously technical, but I just love that video.
Anyway,
I love getting.
Well, you're getting
on YouTube.
So into it, you're like forgetting that we have to put the advisory on and there's some dead air space.
I love Olivia Newton-John and Let's Get Physical. Ever since that we started putting this show together, remember I called you this afternoon. I was quite excited about using that title because
yes, baby,
I love that thing.
Yes, thank you. So, welcome back to Business Back Radio. You are on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You're in the box, and we have San Francisco's dating and relationship guru himself, Michael Jones. But first, we have to do Juiceberries because we like to do our little public service things around Vancouver. And so quickly,
very
advertisements.
Quickly, starting
yes.
for tomorrow night, we've got a couple burlesque things. It's burlesque night. We've got the Diamond Mine on Thursday nights at Maxine's Hideaway, which is the old Baltazar, and it's pretty cool. Diamond Minx does that, and it's fantastic. As well as that, a friend of ours, Kitty Titty, is going to be debuting tomorrow at the Becoming Burlesque that Screaming Chicken is putting on tomorrow night at the Red Room. We will be there, or be square.
Yes.
And on the weekend, come
the underwear. wear
get
a fair
in your ginch.
I love this race. Get down to your skivvies and run for a cure for cancers below the waist. And actually, they're all around North America. It's called uncoverthecure.org. You can find out where you're doing your underwear affair.
And Luscious Dance will actually be dancing at the after party as well.
Oh, fabulous.
But you can check out what people look like in their underwear before you sleep with them. And that's kind of an interesting thing.
Okay, anyway. And then one of my favorite days in Vancouver, so many hot parties all around downtown. An extra long parade this year for the first time for the 550,000 people that fill the streets for Pride Vancouver. And that is August 3rd. And you can find out more about that at vancouverpride.ca. So
lots
of juice berries, yes. And there's lots more going on, but those are the ones that we decided to pick. So
it's pretty exciting. And right before the break,
yes.
We have our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Michael Jones, dating coach extraordinaire. And he was about halfway through the critical steps of what a guy should do before he asks a girl for his phone number. So let's just go really quickly through the next couple.
Yes, just do the next two if you don't mind before we move on.
Well, first, I want to thank you guys for calling me a guru and saying that I'm outstanding. But I feel like I have the easier job of the jobs. I feel like the guys who really deserve most of the credit are the men who sign up for these workshops and push themselves beyond their comfort zone, try out new ways of being. I mean, I've had 10 years to practice this and a long relationship to kind of get familiar with it. So I'm just conveying what I took a long time to figure out. Some might say that I'm a slow learner. And I'm just trying to save guys some of the pain that I went through in trying to figure this out.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Thank you.
Like I said, when I met you at Data, I get picked up a lot. And not to brag or anything, but yeah, the smooth operator thing happening. So that's why we're having you on the show.
I should play that song from Sade.
Yeah.
Smooth operator.
My favorite karaoke song. Okay. So the other two. Go ahead, Michael, please.
Okay, so you wanted me to move on to
just the last
three,
few. Yeah,
yes.
The last few.
Last couple.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so I call number one openness.
Mm-hmm.
I call number two commitment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's really important for the interaction to be balanced, to be equal, real, and that both people commit to doing this. Whatever step it is, whatever escalation in relationship, it has to have equal commitment from both parties.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's unbalanced and it'll tip over.
Mm-hmm.
So what's three?
The third step would be rapport, building that connection. And now we're starting to move from platonic to more personal. I've considered rapport to be three things. I consider it to be finding out about each other equally. I consider if you find out about me, that's an interview. If I spend the whole time just talking about myself, I'm politicking. But if we build rapport, we find out about each other. We co-discover each other. And I consider that to be rapport. I consider it to be a two-way balanced and equal exchange.
Okay. Cool.
What's number four?
And rapport is a long topic in itself, and I can spend all day talking about rapport. But once rapport is established and the chemistry starts to build, the next thing would be to make a statement of intent, to let the person know what you intend to do with this relationship next.
Okay.
And maybe it's becoming friends, maybe it's a business relationship, maybe it's going out to do some activity together, maybe it's expressing sexual intent. But I believe putting that out, letting the person know, this is where I see this conversation going. This is my intention for this conversation.
Okay.
So if you want to run off to Vegas and get married, that would be in there?
That might be in there.
Ah. Well, what would
speaking
five
of
be?
Which.
Really, Julia.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
Okay, number five.
I've explained it's very, very linear, and one of the big risks I find guys going coming out is becoming too linear. It becomes flatline. So I believe that all along the way there should be peaks and valleys. There should be push and pull. There should be ups and downs. It should feel more like a roller coaster than than like a car ride. So all along the way, I want this to be fun. I want to change the nature of the relationship. I want there to be some twists and turns along the way to make it more fun and dynamic.
Okay.
All along the way, I also have to be a little bit of a sleuth and gather some information. Maybe I discover that my intentions wouldn't be well received because there's somebody else involved. So I need to find out information about her situation. What's her relationship status right now? Lots of information before I go out making some statements of intention about where this could lead that might lead to problems.
Okay.
So I believe it's really important to know where the other person's at before we start taking this train somewhere that maybe they can't go.
Okay. And what's the last point?
And then the last point is build a bridge on how to get to wherever you two can go.
Okay. I like that.
Okay.
Now, one of the things I did want to ask is, from there, do you do pickup field trips?
I'm not sure what that is.
Where the guys go out for target practice? Literally. I was just curious about that. Do you do that, and how does that work?
I have spent plenty of time in the real world with guys, talking to real men and women out in different social venues, whether it be happy hour or bars or coffee shops or in the park, yes.
Okay.
All right, you know what? We could talk all night about flirting, picking up, connecting casually, this target practices. But I do think it makes it really easy to meet people and lots of people all the time, wherever you go. And what do you think the effect of this fun and, like, flirty game playing does to encourage, I think, what is, like, almost a constant looking for the BBD, which is the bigger, better deal, if I can coin a friend of mine's term, instead of working harder to connect and go deeper with, say, one relationship?
Well, to me, a guy who just likes to start things but not finish them, for example, would be a guy who likes to play the first four moves of chess, but not actually play the whole game. To me, this openness and taking it to a new level is a lifelong process. And maybe it starts with the first interaction, the first few dates, but it goes your whole life. There's no end to how the possibilities of a relationship. Now, at some point, either a person may decide this is as far as we want to go, but I encourage guys to always be opening the relationship to bolder possibilities, always be looking to build deeper rapport, always be looking to lead this together in new intentions.
So how does somebody do that if they've been in a relationship for a while?
Like, how do you create a deeper emotional connection, with a person?
I find there's no end to ways to share. Every day is a new experience and an insight to share with a partner. It means being bold in how open you are. And it also means having the courage to go deeper and to tell more of what your experience is. I find that a little scary, but also exciting when it's well received by my partner.
When is it too late? Say somebody's been in a long-term relationship, they're experiencing, say, bed death, which we've talked about a lot in the last couple weeks, and they want to make things better. One of the things you mentioned when you're talking about the art of pickup was in terms of just kind of sleuthing out, seeing if there's interest in that. So would that be one of the steps you do in terms of if you're in a relationship with somebody, finding is there any hope left? Like, do you need to go for an outside source, or what would you suggest in terms of finding out if there's hope, if this is workable?
I believe that gathering information needs to happen all during every interaction. You always need to be curious about the other person and what their experience is. I always want to listen to the other person's answers and relate to them to be part of rapport. I always want to ask more and more open-ended questions to find out more about my partner's experience.
Okay.
of life. When I stop doing that, when I close to my partner and stop being curious about them and their experience, stop relating what my experience is, stop listening to their answers, to me, that's when you have a chance of bed death or relationship death.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point the commitment breaks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
how do you resurrect it? How do you give it mouth to mouth?
Well, if we go back to step number two,
mm-hmm.
if there's still commitment, then I can go on. But if I've lost the commitment, then it's hard. Then it's divorce. I don't believe that women leave their men. I think that men push away women.
Hmm. Wow, I've never heard that one before.
Me neither.
Huh.
Wow.
I always hear that men don't leave. It's like when a man's committed, he's, you know, just put up with being treated actually quite badly for a really long time before he'll ever end the relationship. But it takes a long time for him to actually commit. To actually get there, because once he's there, he's very slow moving, and you know, so there's that movie Men Don't Leave. I really believe that. So this is the first time I've heard this. I'm like, what? Men push women away. Okay, well, yeah, maybe.
I believe a lot of men exist in a relationship, survive in a relationship, but from their partner's standpoint, they're dead. They're, you know, they've closed and become a lifeless roommate.
That I buy.
So a man, I mean, he'll stop being dynamic with her and stop being passionate with her and stop pursuing her and
stop taking the relationship to a new level.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the masculine in a relationship is the direction and is the growth and intimacy. And that
sounds
could be
like
either
data.
Partner, but typically, in my experience, it's men. And as long as they have a direction, as long as they have a place they want to take the relationship, they also probably have an erection. So they're the ones who are moving the relationship to a higher level. And I find that most women, if they are attracted to the man, they're even more attracted to his direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I mean, it's nice to put it into the sort of masculine, feminine camps as opposed to in the heterosexual camps. I know that we are speaking in the heterosexual world, but I think if you speak about erections, it's like, yeah. But then I don't know.
Julie,
even the strongest. Well, I'm just thinking of Esther Perel and Mating in Captivity and Unlocking Erotic Intelligence. Absolutely fabulous, fascinating, very important work. I recommend highly for anybody in relationship to read, or even out of relationship to read about the nature of things. And she speaks about even the strongest women that kind of direct the relationship outside of the bedroom are usually quite submissive and like to be taken. And if the man isn't up to the job, the eroticism in the relationship, you know, falters and sort of fails. And so I hear what you're saying around the, you know, the man being able to direct and have that be the erection, that, you know, having him feel that he's the king of the bedroom, I think, is and directing the relationship, as you're saying, Aunt Michael. So
I agree with you in some points. And I would even say that a good leader is evidenced by the followers following him. A good leader, I can't say a leader just leads, because I know leaders who lead and no one follows. But I know leaders who listen to what the followers want, and he's just the conduit to make it happen.
Right.
It's more service. And to me, the direction in a relationship is co-created together. It's just the man who takes on the challenge of having a direction for it.
Hmm.
I really like the metaphor of the river and the riverbank.
Like data uses,
that the masculine may be the riverbank, lifeless and stiff and not as fun. The river provides more the life, more the fluidity, more the the emotion, and the riverbank provides more of the direction and guidance, and yet the river cuts the riverbank. Riverbank
slowly,
guides the river, and
slowly over time.
The two of them make their way together.
Okay. Yes, I thought that was a good one too. And I like the way that Data moves on the stage. He's pretty entertaining. I can just imagine. I can see him again right now. So let's go back to Data, because we have you know, five more minutes, and I think that that's kind of where you're going, Michael, with your work. I see that you've gone through the pickup. You know, in our pre-interviews, you've talked about how you used to sort of do workshops around picking up and flirting, and kind of, and then you moved into sort of have more of a dynamic relationship, the back and forth, the play that we've talked about, you've touched on a little bit already, and how to kind of keep a sagging relationship back into shape, that kind of thing. So now, you know, your workshops are taking on a bit more of a transcendence, I think, into even deeper, like heart space and presence and that higher evolution that goes on. I think it can be a very important part of just your day-to-day living. Doesn't matter if you're single, whatever, in a relationship or just flirting or whatever. But I want you just sort of at the end of the hour here to speak about how Data is affecting your work and where you're going next with that. How are you integrating his messages into your workshop?
Well, I like the way you describe that, and I would agree. That is the goal. That is my personal goal, is to make the work transcend the normative, but to actually create a better place, a better neighbor, a better community around the men that get this kind of training. I think a lot of men still have some fears around sexuality.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Still have some hang-ups around sexuality.
Who
doesn't? I like that David Data takes sexuality head-on.
That's true.
And
yeah, he's pretty bold around that stuff.
Yeah, and I like the way that he describes it, and I believe he describes it better than anyone I've come across in this kind of transcendent, take a relationship to a more divine place. I feel like one of the shortcomings of a lot of the pickup gurus that I've met is that they don't talk much about how to find God through sex, how to find a more divine existence through sex.
Right. I think a lot of people are missing that. And Esther Perel talks about that in her work. And I highly recommend, if you're a Data fan, to pick up her book. She goes more of the feminine flavor. I think Data misses sometimes. So for the female listeners out there that might be interested in that viewpoint, or the men that are interested in sort of seeing that side a little bit more clearly, she speaks a lot about that, and how much that's missing in our relationships, in our sex lives, and that there is no such thing as casual sex in this world. So, and we're making a lot of mistakes with that as well. And I think all of us have a lot of hangouts with sexuality. My work is great and broad for what I have to do, including with my own self. So I agree with you on Data. He cuts right to the core on that one, and trains people up pretty good. I don't know if he affects women that well, though. My experience of his training for women was a bit passive, but then I've talked to some of my girlfriends that have worked with him that really find his work very powerful and have practiced his exercises in their sex lives and have had very profound effects. So I'm still on the kind of decision. I haven't made my choices about Data yet. I may be going to do some more workshops with him or something.
I haven't done any of his work, so I can't speak to that, but I do know that you were like Humpty Dumpty after taking the workshop, where it was like they tried to take you apart and didn't quite put you back together.
They
again.
Didn't quite put me back together because I left early.
True. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Touché.
So, but sorry, Michael, do you have any last sort of comments there?
Well, all I would say is I'm looking at the clock, and I can't believe it's nearly over. The hour has gone by very fast, and I've really enjoyed your company and chatting. And Carolyn, good to meet you as well.
Likewise, and hopefully we'll meet you in person sometime. We'll get you in Vancouver doing some workshops. What have you got, anything?
To advertise, to next up on your agenda. That people
right
can
now,
sign
my
up
number
for.
Number one student is The Man in the Mirror, and I'll be heading off to spend a weekend with the guys who run the Authentic Man program in San Francisco. Be participating in their advanced curriculum this weekend, and then I'm headed off to the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies in Rhinebeck, New York.
Wow.
To spend a week with data.
Wow. Well, you're going to be even more of an expert on data after that.
I'm a slow learner.
Well, slow but steady.
If there's any way for people to get in touch with you and find you in San Francisco, is there any way?
I can be reached at the following email address. It's plexus, P-L-E-X-U-S, at email.com.
Okay. Well, I'm sure our listeners, and there'll be many of them, hopefully getting in touch with you after hearing the show. So, really appreciate your time. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. I like calling him Mr. Jones.
We should play that song next.
We should. We'll have him on the show again to talk a little bit more. Well, we hope
I think
listeners.
So, yeah. That was it was like we had about 10 other questions that we didn't get to. We always tend to do that in case, you know, sometimes interviewees or first time we have a guest on the show, you never quite know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So that we always have extra questions and we didn't get to them, which is a very good sign of him being a very good guest. So hopefully he'll be back.
Definitely.
And that you enjoyed tonight's Juicebox Radio. And if you have any recommendations for a show topic you'd like to hear or questions about anything to do with sexuality or relationships, call us, email us, Julia@JuiceboxRadio.com or Caroline@JuiceboxRadio.com. We are the experts in this town, so you might as well take advantage because we're free for now.
And I love the fact that you put Julia@JuiceboxRadio and Caroline@JuiceboxRadio.
Some people are a bit slow. We need to help them out. They're trying to do Julia or Caroline as one thing. And I'm like, you're not going to find us that way.
And did call
anyway.
Us.
I don't understand why I can't get through. I put Julia or Caroline at Juicebox Radio.
So hence, that is for you.
All right. So coming up next, Hans von Kloss's Misery Hour. And that is with Marion.
He's
a very sexy man to be miserable with. So tune into Juicebox Radio every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock.
I love how you say that, Julia.
I love cock.
And on that note, I'm closing.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.